Howdy, regulars. This is Regular Dispatch 48. It's July 6th, 2020. You can train yourself, almost like an athlete, to be faster, more responsive, more proactive, and more focused in knowledge work. You can think more effectively and manage the results with more ease and control. You can minimize the loose ends across the whole spectrum of your work life and personal life, and get a lot more done with less effort. And you can make front-end decision-making about all the stuff you collect and create standard operating procedure for living and working in this new millennium. Before you can achieve any of that, though, you'll need to get in the habit of keeping nothing on your mind. And the way to do that, as we've seen, is not by managing time, managing information, or managing priorities. After all, you don't manage 5 minutes and wind up with six. You don't manage information overload, otherwise you'd walk into a library and die. Or the first time you connected to the web or even opened a phone book, you'd blow up. And you don't manage priorities, you have them. Instead, the key to managing all of your stuff is managing your actions. Managing action is the prime challenge. What you do with your time, what you do with information, and what you do with your body and your focus relative to your priorities, those are the real options to which you must allocate your limited resources. The real issue is how to make appropriate choices about what to do at any point in time. The real issue is how we manage actions. That may sound obvious. However, it might amaze you to discover how many next actions from how many projects and commitments remain undetermined by most people. It's extremely difficult to manage actions you haven't identified or decided on. Most people have dozens of things they need to do to make progress on many fronts, but they don't yet know what they are. And the common complaint that I don't have time to fill in the blank is understandable because many projects seem overwhelming and are overwhelming because you can't do a project at all. You can only do an action related to it. Many actions require only a minute or two in the appropriate context to move a project forward. In training and coaching thousands of professionals, I found that lack of time is not the major issue for them, though they themselves may think it is. The real problem is a lack of clarity and definition about what a project really is and what the associated next action steps required are. Clarifying things on the front end when they first appear on the radar rather than on the back end after trouble has developed allows people to reap the benefits of managing action. There is no real way to achieve this kind of relaxed control, I'm promising, if you keep things only in your head. As you'll discover, the individual behaviors described in this book are things you're already doing. The big difference between what I do and what others do is that I capture and organize 100% of my stuff in and with objective tools at hand, not in my mind. And that applies to everything. Little or big, professional or personal, urgent or not, everything. I'm sure that at some time or other, you've gotten to a place in a project or in your life where you just had to sit down and make a list. If so, you have a reference point for what I'm talking about. Most people, however, do that kind of list-making drill only when the confusion gets too unbearable and they just have to do something about it. They usually make a list only about the specific area that's bugging them. But if you made that kind of review a characteristic of your ongoing life and work style, and you maintained it across all areas of your life, not just the most urgent, you'd be practicing the kind of black belt management style I'm describing. I'll stop there. I could read the whole book. This is somewhere in the, 20, 30 pages in. To David Allen's Getting Things Done, which has been around for quite a while now. Let's see when the copyright is on this thing. This is an old copy. It's actually starting to fall apart. I think maybe these pages were white when it began. They're browning and yellowing. Let's see. Cover rate 2001. It's not that old, actually. This is highlighted and scribbled on and notes in margins and all kinds of good stuff. Pretty battered. Great book. And he's written others that are also great. Ready for Anything is sort of a compilation of essays. Quite strong. Making It All Work, he released later, which is kind of walks through the same material as Getting Things Done. I think he addressed a little more of the higher level stuff. It's a fantastic book, and it's a very helpful approach. His suggestion that your mind is great for having ideas, but not for holding them, is a nice little truism. And his recommendation to have a system that you trust and get everything out of your head into that system so that you can go to it when you need it is a game changer often for people. Getting a handle of all the things you think you want to do, say you've wanted to do, and just getting them down on paper or in some, you know, there's hundreds, certainly dozens of successful software enterprises that now exist to help us all enact this model that David Allen really deserves a lot of credit for, at least bringing into modern attention. I think he was probably reaching back to older stuff. There's nothing new under the sun. People have been trying to be productive for quite some time. But his telling of it and presentation and the completeness of the system are really super helpful. In the book, too, he has simple little ideas that on their own, just as discrete little things, are pretty powerful. The 2-minute rule is one. The idea is if you get an email in your inbox, even if it's a low priority, if you can knock it out in 2 minutes, knock it out now, because it will take you 2 minutes to look at it again later. So don't just think to yourself it's not a priority. What's interesting, he, with his system, doesn't distinguish between your great grand projects and the little tiny errands, simple stuff, washing the dishes or picking up the dry cleaning that we all need to do. That's in contrast to sort of Stephen Covey. I had a part-time job for part of college, and it was a great part-time job for a college student. Friday afternoon, Saturday and Sunday, I leased apartments, and it was a nice apartment complex. People would come in and I would show them units and tell them what was available and follow up with them and that kind of thing. And it's a big property, so also a lot of renewals. And the woman who ran the office sent everybody there to Franklin Covey sort of time management training. I was a college student. I think it was during the week. I couldn't go to the classes, but I got the materials and like one of those, you know, print day runner books or something. And the people around the office started following this approach. And I've read Covey's books too, or some of them, 7 Habits and First Things First, that kind of thing. And he really does advocate a top-down approach. You basically start, I think you literally start imagining your own death and funeral and what people are going to say about you. That the end, what happens at the end. And you back up from there. You think about what is your mission in life, and your mission breaks into these roles that you serve: parent, spouse, employer, employee, neighbor, etc. So you have these roles that you serve in life. What are your goals under those roles? And then what actions do you need to take to further those goals? And the people in the office were writing in their day runners, or whatever those things were called, the print calendars, weekly calendars, like A1, A2, B1, C1, C2, these layers of priorities that they were trying to fulfill. And David Allen takes a different tack. He wants you to get everything out, regardless of priority, including, again, you know, picking up the dry cleaning and stuff like that. And you might have a project for some massive corporate initiative at your work. It might be to write the great American novel. It might be to replace the fence in your backyard. But you get all of that stuff down. And what's beautiful about it too is he recommends, I'm trying to remember, one of the things he points out is when you go to decide what to do next. In the Stephen Covey world, top down, you might say, you know, it's a Friday evening, what do I go do now? And if you act on priority first, maybe you need to write them a great American novel, but you're tired. It's the end of a week. And so David Allen says, don't start with priority. That's not where you begin. It's sort of a four-question stack. Where are you? How much time do you have? How much energy do you have? And then what's the highest priority? And so with the Friday evening, you know, where are you? You're at home. So, you know, if it's something about running an errand or something, then you can't do that. Or if it's something at the office, you're at home. How much time do you have? How much energy do you have? Maybe you're going to go to bed soon or you're tired. And so among all the things on your list, what can you do in the moment? What's really cool is he suggests things like keep a list of calls, keep a list of things you can do at a computer online, things you can do at the office, things you can do at home, things you can do, errands, things you can, you know, out and about somewhere. And another really interesting category is agendas, which is people. Meetings, we all associate meetings with agendas. But if you have that thought, it's like, oh, the next time I bump into so-and-so, I need to ask them this question. If you don't want to forget that, and his idea, his suggestion that minds are good for having ideas but not holding them, you don't want to just hold that in your head. You get it down in a list, these agendas by person's name, and you start to develop this habit exactly as he describes of when you catch up with people, and maybe people that you see quite often, but you got this agenda. Oh yeah, I remember now I need to ask you about this thing. And it becomes really effortless. So if you, doesn't happen so much for all of us the last few months, but let's say you're out and about and you're meeting someone at a restaurant and you get there early. There's only so much you can do. You can't, again, it's not the appropriate time really to start working on the great American novel or certainly the fence in your backyard. But if you're there 20 minutes early and you have a list of phone calls that you need to make, personal calls, work calls, that kind of, just any of that stuff, maybe you can knock a couple of those out while you wait. And so it's fascinating, his bottom-up approach and some of these very tactical, simple ideas, the two-minute rule, this idea of to-do list by context. It's just full of really helpful stuff. Another one, too, that actually implemented years ago, used to have around our office color-coded files, and there were like drawers for vendors and clients and all this different stuff. And he's like, get rid of all of that. Just have files and have them alphabetized. It doesn't matter. You don't need that extra layer of hierarchy. Now, maybe if you're in some law office and, you know, really complex, big, massive amounts of stuff you're dealing with, that's one thing. But for regular old office work, like I would do, didn't need all that stuff. It was noise. And he also suggested, and this is so mundane, so little, but it's like, you want to get one of those file cabinets that has a movable rear wall inside a drawer so you can set it where you need it. And where you need it is, so the files in that drawer fill about 75% of the space. Because if it's too empty, they just fall to the bottom. If it's too full, now it's crammed and you can't even squeeze something in there. And his point is, if it's either of those situations, it's everything falls flat on top of itself, or it's so crammed you can't get in and out easily, then you're going to be less likely to open it up and keep it current. It keeps stuff off your desk, and you only want on your desk what you're working on. Anyway, it's a whole bunch of this kind of stuff in the context of actually this nice, holistic, complete approach to how to do this sort of stuff. What's interesting is Covey and David Allen shared the idea of, on a weekly basis, you want to sit down with yourself for about an hour and a half or so and have this like executive meeting with yourself and review everything. Go over your calendar last week and next and your various inboxes on your desk and things that have just been accumulating, and you want to process them all. And what is really interesting with David Allen is you've got all these project ideas, and the key question in that weekly review is, what's the next action I should take on this project now? And when you get this going, like inside an office, also it's very interesting because it becomes a reinforcing system where you don't really leave a meeting anymore without people understanding, like, who's doing what next? Why? What was the whole point of us getting in this room in the first place? Anyway, it's fantastic stuff. And And it got on my mind again. I mean, I've completely inculcated all these ideas into my just daily rhythm. I use Remember the Milk. There's things, and the OmniFocus folks have something. There's just so many of these things, and now there's like Trello and Asana and other group kinds of things that people are tricking out with getting things done, kinds of ideas that really, you know, apply to bigger projects and across teams. I use Remember the Milk, and I got to thinking about it because last week I was sort of finishing the week reading from Unschooling Rules about where the author starts with his 55 little vignettes with there's three kinds of learning: learning to do, learning to be, learning to do, and learning to know. And that the current sort of modern compulsory government schooling world is incredibly focused on learning to know, and a particular kind of knowing, tests and memorization and this kind of thing, and the all-out importance of being and doing, and that those things actually are really foundational, and you can kind of better layer learning to know on top of that stuff. And then I read from the middle of Ryan Holiday's The Obstacle is the Way, a little bit he had focused on, I think it was beginning a whole section on action, and his first little bit of that whole section of his book on action. And here you have David Allen pointing out that really the key, it's not about time management, it's about actions. And in our current world of work, we're working often on computers and phones, which hold the most dizzying array of distractions that I think, if you're of a certain age, try to remember back when you were 10. It's a literally mind-blowing sea of distraction that awaits you at every turn. We all know that feeling where you pick up the phone or look at your laptop to do one thing, and a lot of time has gone by, and you've gone completely sideways somewhere else, and you sometimes don't even remember what that one thing is you went to go do. We live in that world now, and so it's vitally important that we sit down with ourselves on a weekly basis and go back through this nice little checklist, this weekly review process, and true up the projects in our lives, the things we say we want to get done, that we want to ship, that we want to move forward, change that we want to affect. Well, how are we going to do that? And deciding what the next action is, and then keeping those in a place organized outside your head where in the moment you can knock them out. There are, in this world of this kind of literature on personal productivity, really, there's just tons of great stuff. David Allen was kind of writing a response to Stephen Covey, really, the bottom up versus top down, at least. And then you have like Tim Ferriss, and there's this book. There's so many books. I won't just rattle them all off. Leo Babauta, The Power of Less, is another really nice one where it's like, he's sort of an essentialist, not a minimalist really, but like, what are the essential things that you really need to focus on? Organize tomorrow today. I mean, there's just so many of these books and writers and stuff. But this, after having come out in 2001, and all the others that have come along that have interesting ideas that supplement all this, it's, and by the way, James Clear, and then I love Jocko Willink and David Goggins, who are also kind of like, yeah, that's all very nice. How do you do this? You just do it. You don't need to overthink a lot. Some things are big, complex projects, but other things, if you want to get up early tomorrow morning, here's what you do. You set your alarm, and you get out of bed. Like, that's basically it. You want to work out every day? That's great. How do you do that? If tomorrow comes, you work out. That's how you do it. You do it. So some actions, I suppose, take less management than others. And some actions, sometimes we can delude ourselves into thinking we're going to design things so that it's all easy. While David Allen is saying you can be more productive and have this relax, but and your stress level goes down. He's definitely arguing that you can be more productive and your stress level goes down. You're more relaxed, even though you're getting a lot more done. I do think it's worth bringing into the mix folks like Leo Babauta, I hope I'm saying his last name correctly, and the idea of, you know, maybe you could eliminate a lot of this stuff and not do it at all, and not worry about some of this stuff at all. Chuck it off your list. It shouldn't be on there. And Jocko Willink and David Goggins, where it's like, actually, just do it. And it's never getting up early or working out or some of these things, public speaking, perhaps different things. You're never going to love it. It's never going to be easy, but you do it anyway. That it's not about getting motivated. It's about having discipline and following principle and just doing it because it's the right thing to do next. All that to say, there's been a ton of these other things that have come out in the last 20 years. And David Allen's Getting Things Done remains worth reading, having solid recall of it, having it nearby for reference, because it holds a lot of great tactics that just flat out work. And I'm glad to be getting it on the table here in the dispatches, as it were. Thanks, y'all.